they need to do to be fully prepared.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple, I would say foolish, just keep going and suffer for it.
Absolutely.
Wow. Friend, don't you be the one that suffers. The time to prepare is now. The time to prepare spiritually is now. That's why the Scripture says today is the day of salvation. This is not a manana experience. This is not put off to tomorrow what we could do today. This is getting started. Let's plan our work and then work our plan. Because, as Ben Franklin said, I think it was he who said it, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail.
Yes,
if we fail to plan,
don't be a victim. Be prepared, don't be a victim.
Yeah. And what a blessing this work that Dr. Williams has provided. I can't think of someone better equipped to do this and to give us a proper spiritual orientation at the same time. When all plans fail, the book, $15, the workbook, $15, but if you get them together, $27 plus $4 postage and handling for the combined books, that would be $31. Friends, that's a pretty minimal investment to save a lot of time, a lot of frustration. This is a man, he's put it together, he knows what he's doing, and what a help, what a practical help he is to us. So call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to our website, saveus.org, where you can order the book, where you can go to the emergency section right there. Click on it on the home page, a nice big red button there, and it'll take you to a whole segment of our website that we've prepared just for you. Just for you. And you can listen to this program any time of the day or night. I would urge you to, if you care for your relatives and friends and so on, colleagues, both here in this country and around the world, I'd urge you to tell them, email them, let them know about the website. And if you value this message today, if you value what Dr. Williams is providing, they would like to listen to this program as well and be encouraged and be given new vision and hope so that they don't find themselves in a frenzy but can rather take steps of faith. Because remember, God may just be sending a helicopter right now with a rescue line, but you've got to grab the line. You've got to grab the line. Now, on our website, we've talked about these things today, very practical, not just the book or the workbook, but we've talked about the big Berkey water purifiers. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can find them there on the emergency section of the website, or the emergency radios if you want one with a cell phone charger. It'll be $45. If you want one that's just without the cell phone charger, it'll be $35. These have four different power supplies, so you don't need electricity. That is, you don't need to be able to plug them in when all electricity is down. They are terrific. Seven different bands. And then also, we've talked about, you listened to the little promotion concerning the Silver Saul. Terrific items, and these are all right there on the website. So, Dr. Williams, what would be your final word to our listeners today?
I would say, first of all, be prepared spiritually in your own heart and get your family prepared spiritually as well. And then prepare in a physical way. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? And so I'm saying be right with the Lord spiritually, because that's what you really need to be ready for, is to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ and make sure that you're ready for the wedding. But after you have done that and your family is ready, then I'm saying then take your practical steps of how to be ready for both natural and man-made disasters.
Exactly. And remember, just going to church is not what makes you ready. You've got to come clean before God and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Thanks for joining us. A big thank you to Dr. Paul Williams for his labors here. What a blessing to the body of Christ and any others who want to avail themselves of these materials. And I hope that you will. And I want to urge you to become a partner with us, friends. It's getting more and more difficult to raise the resources to keep on the air. It just is in this tough economic climate. If you value the program, you want to keep it on in your area or even on the Internet, we're going to have to hear from you, and soon. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. What are you going to do when all plans fail? Well, the just shall live by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney, and we're going to be talking about America. We're going to be talking about our Constitution. Tragically, of course, since the people who wanted an American empire have taken control of our country over the last 50 years, this has been played down. Everything has been done to discourage people from reading or studying or understanding the Constitution, that unique document that separated America from any other country in the world. The Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights limited the power of government so men could be free. But there have always been those who wanted an all-powerful state. And so, basically, what they have done is try to keep people from understanding what America is about. And they've centralized power in Washington, D.C. They've created a world empire. We have our troops stationed in 130, 140 nations throughout the world, 720 foreign military bases. We put out as much money, almost as much money for our military as all the rest of the world put together. In fact, until recently, we did more money for our military than all the rest of the world. Now we're about 40% of all expenditures, 40-45% of all expenditures for military put out by America. We provide defense for the people in Europe so that they can prosper and don't have to put their money into providing for the military. And we do that for the Japanese, for the South Koreans. We do this for people all throughout the world. We have special forces killer teams stationed in over 60 nations throughout the country. And, of course, if you haven't read John Perkins' wonderful book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, about the hit teams that go around and kill world leaders who won't go along with the agenda. Confessions of an Economic Hitman, written by John Perkins, a very important book. Certainly our four tapes set where I interviewed CIA assassins, important. But we have to understand that the whole thing is collapsing. The whole world empire is on the way down now, spiraling down. But we can't afford it financially. The whole system is collapsing, and basically they're talking about a 10% reduction in our military. And that's just the first installment. They're going to have to, of course, cut dramatically in Social Security and Medicare. That's what the Obama health care bill is all about. It's really all about, of course, dramatic cuts in medical care and rationing access to health care and cutting off health care for the elderly when they reach a certain age. And certainly under the Obama health care, I wouldn't have been able to get the aortic valve replacement that is keeping me alive today. But they have to let the elderly die. There's just no way to do it. We put out $750 billion now every year simply for Medicaid and Medicare. We can't afford it. $750 billion for the military, with that includes, of course, the war over there and the no-win war we're fighting in Afghanistan. Our boys are trying, but they're never going to let them win the war, ladies and gentlemen. Who do you think's funding Al-Qaeda and the Taliban? And if you haven't heard about, well, oh, that's a subject for another night. Right now we have Pastor David Whitney with us from the Institute of the Constitution. David, go right ahead. And why is the Constitution so vitally important today?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. And all the points you bring up here illustrate why the Constitution is so vitally important. Our founders understood that you cannot allow the federal government or even the state government to act on its own power to determine what its limits are. You must limit the power of government, or that government will become tyrannical, will violate the rights of its citizens, and go about abusing the rights of other people around the world, just as you've described. Our country has been sadly doing.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney, the Institute on the Constitution. David, go right ahead.
And so our founders knew that you've got to restrict government. You've got to put limits on government, and that's exactly what our Constitution was designed to do. The seven articles spelling out the specifics that the government is granted power to do. It's only these things and no more. And if that weren't enough, our founders also realized that we needed to put a high wall around that set of powers that we've even granted to them, and that's the Bill of Rights that further restrict and further prevent our government from stepping outside the boundaries that we established, because they understood human nature. They understood it because they read the Word of God, which said all men are sinners and all men will abuse power that is put into their trust. So you don't trust anyone with unlimited power or the power that's not checked by other countervailing ambitions of other branches of government and other levels of government. All these things were structured very carefully, understanding fallen human nature. But the design for the destruction of that whole plan just started not too long after the ink was dry, and the tyrants who wanted an all-powerful centralized government in Washington, D.C., began working on that project right away. And so we have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights restricting government, and then most of the 17 subsequent amendments, there's a few exceptions, but most of the subsequent 17 amendments to the Constitution expand federal power. They break down the limitations and the restrictions placed on Washington, D.C., and allow that monster to come out of the box, so to speak. And we've been suffering even worse fate because not only do these amendments do that, but then the courts, as well as the executive and legislative branch, have acted as if the Constitution was a document that didn't have any meaning except whatever they wanted it to mean. So a contract that they could redefine at will anytime they chose and make it say whatever they wanted it to say rather than sticking with what the words actually say. And they'd like to call it a living constitution. No, when they do that, you have no constitution at all, essentially. You have whatever the ruling tyrant wants to do as what takes place in the country at that point in time. And Dr. Stan, the encouraging thing today is so many people are waking up to the reality that we have a very, very broken system, whether it's the bankrupt Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, or whether it's the creeping inflation that is going to become galloping inflation when these trillions of dollars they're printing actually get into circulation. And all these things are beginning to wake up Americans to say something is desperately wrong.
Hold that thought, David. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sidney David Whitney, Pastor David Whitney, the Institute of the Constitution, simply talking about how our form of government was made to restrict the power of government so men could be free. But the tyrants, those people who want the all-powerful government, have discouraged this. Now, we've been at this, David and I, doing these programs together for 9 years. And, you know, every month, David is on this program, sometime during the month, talking about the importance of the Constitution and pleading with people to get a kit, to learn the Constitution, and then to begin to teach the Constitution. And all across America, people were doing it. You never heard about this. But then, of course, we see the Tea Party movement. And we see suddenly people talking about the Constitution. Most exciting thing has happened. Congress opened this session. reading the Constitution. That had never happened before. And then, of course, we know 1994 when the Republicans took over, Newt Gingrich was really a liberal, wearing wolf's, dressed in wolf's clothing or dressed in sheep's clothing. You know, basically he talked to people all about, you know, how the government had to provide for the people. But he never talked about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. Well, right now, the new people that controlling the House have said that every piece of legislation that is submitted has to give the constitutional justification. In other words, where in the Constitution does it say that we can have legislation having to do with forcing people to have health care? Well, you know, they never could have gotten the Obama health care bill. I call it the Kevorkian health care bill. They never could have gotten that through had they had to cite where in the Constitution, because it's unconstitutional. And that is probably going to be fought out in the courts until President Obama is out of office, because he'll veto any effort to stop this program, which is specifically designed to ration access to health care. Well, ladies, go right ahead, though, David. What we're seeing basically is exciting. I mean,
yes.
After 9 years, all across the country, more and more people are taking the courses put on by the Institute, and now even Congress is acknowledging the foundation of our nation is the Constitution of the United States. Go right ahead.
And the exciting thing is that not only on the federal level are we seeing this kind of awakening to the Constitution, so to speak, we're seeing this on the state level, and you might think, well, what difference does it make with a state legislator? It makes a huge difference, because if the states recognize that they have powers designed by our founders, if, particularly if you read Federalist Paper 45, they were to have the broadest powers of any governmental level in our country, broader than Congress and the President and the Supreme Court. They were to have the majority of power in their possession, and the federal government very few and very defined and limited powers. And so as some of the legislators that we've worked with, we've trained some people in the state of Maryland and a couple of other states who are now in the state legislatures, they begin to take action and say, we can stop the federal government from doing illegal activities in our state, that is, unconstitutional activities in our state, what is basically called states nullifying federal laws, because the federal laws themselves are unconstitutional. There's a long tradition in American history of this action, and so we see some exciting things happening even on the state levels that can further rein in the powers of Washington, D.C. And we're on an exciting roll right now. By God's grace, we'll be able to keep up with the demand that's rolling in every day. Well, going back to our amendment to the Constitution last month, we were discussing the 20th, and I think we just touched on the 21st Amendment. The exciting 21st Amendment took place in 1933, and it was the amendment that repealed Prohibition. Prohibition was the 18th Amendment that basically gave to the federal government the power to control, regulate, and basically eliminate the production of alcohol in our country. And we talked about how that really did not work well, because the jurors in America at that point in time understood that law is to be evaluated by God's law, and that the jury is to judge the law as well as the facts. And so in many, many cases, the juries would not convict somebody who was charged with violating the 18th Amendment. They'd say, hey, we don't care if it's in the Constitution. There's a higher law above the Constitution, and that's God's law. And God's law says government cannot tell you you cannot produce alcohol. That's ridiculous. God doesn't say you can't produce alcohol. So how in the world can the government pretend it is bigger and more powerful than God and do this? And so juries routinely struck it down, which meant that the 18th Amendment became unworkable, and no prosecutor in his right mind began trying to prosecute somebody, because they knew they'd never win. And so ultimately it was obvious that the 18th Amendment hadn't worked and needed to be repealed, and it was repealed. And this is a great victory, because it demonstrates that if there is something in our Constitution, if there is even is an amendment to our Constitution, it can be gotten rid of if the people recognize that it is wrong and it was a mistake in the first place. And again, we recall George Washington's exhortation to us in his farewell address. He exhorted, you know, if we find something in the Constitution that is wrong in either its structure or its application, we ought to amend the Constitution and not simply usurp power, not simply act as if the Constitution is not the law of the land. Instead, we need to amend the Constitution to fix the problem that occurred. And that was 1933, where everybody knew we can amend the Constitution and we should amend it when changes are needed. Well, the current regime, and probably for the past 50, 60 years, the regime in Washington, D.C. has basically said they could thumb their noses at the Constitution. They could make up the law any which way they chose, which George Washington called usurpation, that is, taking power that does not belong to you and acting as if you have this power that's not yours, in other words, acting tyrannically. And we have Washington, D.C. been doing that. They're getting away with it, saying, oh, we have a living, breathing Constitution. Well, that's a ridiculous idea, because who would want a living, breathing contract on, oh, well, let's say the mortgage to your house? You know, there's 10% this month, and, well, next month it's going to be 25% because it's a living, breathing document, and the bank gets to change it any time they want. Well, you know that if you have a living, breathing document, you don't have a good contract. And, you're under tyranny. You don't have any solid security for your life, liberty, or your property in that situation.
Well, David, I would point out that the people who want a dictatorship, and there are people who want a dictatorship, and all you need to do is go to 5080 68th Street in New York City, Harold Pratt House, headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations. These are the people who want an authoritarian society, but they don't want to amend the Constitution because they know the American people wouldn't go along with it. They never want the American people to know that we have an empire, this is what it's all about, because the American people don't want an empire. They know that the war over in Afghanistan is a no-win war, but they can't tell the American people they're sending our boys over there to fight and bleed and suffer and die in a no-win war where we are actually financing the enemies. After all, we did finance the enemies. How would the Taliban and Al-Qaeda be able to operate? And between the Bank of England and the CIA, we're funding the people who are killing our boys. But if you're going to have a war, you have to have an enemy. It's what happened in Vietnam. Congressman Larry McDonald tried to bring that out. We've got the material he circulated at that time. And, of course, when his plane was forced down on Sakhalin Island in 1983, while he was taken prisoner, I've talked to a man who's talked to the man who was in the cell next to Larry McDonald in a prison in Russia or in one of the Russian satellite countries. What was Larry McDonald's sin? Why would our government go along with having him imprisoned or encourage the Russians to keep him imprisoned? Well, because he was talking about how we financed the North Vietnamese all during the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. We couldn't let the American people know that any more than we can let the American people know how we're financing the Taliban and Al-Qaeda today. Because if that happened and the people realized that, they'd demand we bring our boys home and the people in government responsible would be tried for treason. So basically, they do not want the people to know what's going on. They do not want to amend the Constitution. They're just usurping power. These are subversive elements. They're working at the highest levels of government. Go ahead, David.
And again, that's why we, the people, need to know what the Constitution, a fixed standard, what it means, that is what our founders meant by the words they put on paper, because that's the fixed standard. And if we know the fixed standard and we see these people who are usurping, they're creating all kinds of things that are not constitutional, they have all kinds of agencies, they're spending billions of dollars illegally because it's unconstitutional to do so, we could see that and recognize those people are evil. They are violating the law. They are lawbreakers. Let's put them out of office. Let's vote them out of office. Let's let all of our neighbors know what evil people this congressman or that senator, whoever it is, and let's be sure that those people are put out and only people put into office who really believe in a fixed standard, and that is the standard of what the words meant to the founders who wrote these words in the Constitution. And hey, if a change is needed, then let's amend the Constitution by the means the Constitution specifies in Article 5, and that's exactly what they did with the 21st Amendment. They said, hey, this prohibition was a bad idea to begin with. Let's do away with it. Let's amend the Constitution so that that is no longer the standing law in our land. Well, the sad thing about the process, although the 18th Amendment itself was done away with, the federal bureaucracy created to enforce the 18th Amendment, that was not gotten rid of, which should have been part of the amendment process to say we get rid of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives that exist today, and the IRS that exists today, both that were birthed out of the enforcement of prohibition. And those two agencies are tyrannical in the worst ways that we could think of, whether it's the massacre at Waco or the IRS's oppression of the U.S. citizens in every state and every county and jurisdiction of our land.
Well, hold that thought, you know, because the closest thing to a mortal life in this world is a government bureaucracy. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitley of the Institute of the Constitution discussing America's marvelous Constitution. David, go right ahead.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. The closest thing to immortality is government bureaucracy. And it's interesting to see the title of that bureaucracy, the government, the federal.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com. and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
He passed away very shortly thereafter, but basically the next amendment was to limit the president to two terms. So go right ahead with the story, David.
Yeah, so that's the 22nd Amendment that limits him to two terms. And it's interesting to ask, well, why were people so upset about this? Well, people recognized that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a wretched president. I mean, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, I remember many times she said, and I didn't understand as a kid what she meant, that hey, Franklin Roosevelt was a wicked man. He stole the gold from the American people, and I had to grow up and do some reading in history to discover exactly what she meant, and she was right. He stole 41% of the value of people's money during those terrible Great Depression of all times to be stealing from people. Well, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a wicked man and a wicked president, and many people recognized that what he did in transforming us and moving us in the direction of a socialist country was terrible, and that we can't let any president get away with the kind of destruction that Roosevelt wrought in our country during four terms. I mean, the damage that a president can do in two terms is enough. Let's not allow them to go on four terms. We think of, George Bush II, 8 years that were terrible in the damage he did to our country. Maybe we should change the 22nd Amendment and make it one term for president, because I can think of the last three presidents, each one of them doing enormous damage to our country and to our Constitution by the years they spent in the White House. It was a terrible, terrible thing, because we don't have, by and large, any president in the past three that was following the Constitution in many of their decisions. So the American people said, that's not good. We see the damage FDR did. We're not going to allow any president to do that again. And so the limit to two terms was accomplished in 1951 with the 22nd Amendment. Now, it was another 10 years before the 23rd Amendment was considered and ratified in 1961. And this deals with the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., appealing to the rest of the country, saying, oh, it's terrible that we don't get to vote in the presidential election. And so they appealed to the rest of the country to grant Washington, D.C. electors equal to the number of electors from the least populous state for the Electoral College, which is actually what takes place in voting for the president. You realize, of course, our structure is you don't directly vote for the president. You're essentially voting for electors from your state who then in turn are going to cast their ballot for the president. So D.C. said, oh, we are being deprived of this right. But we need to understand that Washington, D.C. is not a state, never has been and never was designed to be, because the idea was that our nation's capital was to be a zone that was controlled by Congress along with territories or other needful areas that, we think of Puerto Rico as a territory, it's not a state. Well, Congress is directly in control of them, but if a territory wants to become a state, it can go through a process of doing so. But our founders never wanted our nation's capital to have kind of the political process taking place there in the nation's capital. In a sense, it was to be a place where the nation's business is done by those elected from the states who come there. But it itself, that 10-mile square itself, was not to be a political hotbed and have its own political parties and races and so forth. It was to be run by Congress. And therefore, if you chose to live within Washington, D.C., you chose to live in a place that did not permit you to vote for a congressman or a senator or to vote for president.
Now, what does this amendment actually say?
The 23rd Amendment says that the District of Columbia has electors equal to the number of electors from the least populous state. In other words, they get three electors, because every state has the electors based on their senators. Every state has two senators, and their congressmen. So the least number of electors would be three. So residents of Washington, D.C. were choosing to live in a place that would not give them any voice on the national level, whether voting for president, voting for Congress, voting for senators, and that's their choice.
But of course, David, this is all part of this idea of we're a democracy. Mm-hmm. So people have to be able to vote to determine their form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers did not want democracy. Why? Because people will always vote for the people who promises to give them the most. And they'll vote for the politicians that promise to give them this, that, and the other thing. And then eventually, why, they keep spending money and spending money until the whole thing goes bankrupt. That's just where we are now. And they didn't want the people to elect the Senate. They were to be elected by the states. They don't want the people to elect the president. They were to be elected by the Electoral College. We've forgotten the message of history, and that's one reason we're in trouble today. Pastor David Whitney, go right ahead.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. And when we consider that 23rd Amendment, I think it was a bad idea. And it's interesting to see that Washington's not satisfied with that. You see their license plate today saying taxation without representation. In other words, they're appealing and they want to have a congressman and want to have senators. And I guess they have a representative who has no vote, so kind of a strange animal, in the House currently, so they have somebody who can speak, I guess, but cannot vote. All of this is against our founders' design, and part of the problem is that we've given Washington, D.C. such great powers and such great abilities, and you know, that it has become a place where many people want to live and work, rather than being a place where, you know, those who are in office are only there a couple of months a year. The Supreme Court was only there a couple of months, and certainly the House and the Senate only gathered 3 or 4 months out of the entire year. The only people that live there permanently would be the president or his cabinet or other people that happen to live there that were part of the service of those things. And not necessarily the average person. And today that's very different. So many people work for the federal government that should not be, because the programs they're involved with, the jobs they're doing, are completely unconstitutional. Well, it was only a few years later the next amendment came about. The 24th Amendment was 1964, and up to this point in time, throughout the country, many states had what they were poll taxes. That is, when you went to an election to support and cover the cost of the elections. And if you know anything about elections, you know they're not inexpensive. It's pricey to run an election, and whether it's by machine or hand count, the election officials have to be paid. There's a lot of money involved in putting on an election. Well, to defray that cost, rather than taxing everybody, they would tax the people who would actually vote. So the person might pay $1 or $2 as a poll tax. And, of course, this meant that the people who were impoverished and couldn't afford $1 or $2 wouldn't be able to vote.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris said David was just talking about the 24th Amendment doing away with the poll tax. The poll tax was a good idea. Why? Because people who couldn't put out $1 for voting shouldn't be voting. Why? Because they're going to vote for the fellow who's going to give them money. And that, of course, was what our founding fathers feared. They knew what had happened in ancient Greece. They knew what had happened in ancient Rome. People will always, because of their very selfish nature, vote for the man who says, just vote for me and I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to take from the rich. We're not going to raise the taxes on the common people, just those rich people who make over $200,000 or $250,000 a year, who have so much. And the rhetoric of Obama is exactly the rhetoric of a tyrant. Oh, we're going to take the money from them and give it to you because we like you so much. No, it's all about power. But eventually, of course, what problems happens is that eventually the whole system goes bankrupt. And ladies and gentlemen, why within this year our national debt will exceed the gross domestic product of this country. It will be unsustainable. The whole house of cards is beginning to come down right now. And this is what our founding fathers feared. Well, before we go on, David, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, how they can take the course on the Internet themselves to see what it's like, then how they can get themselves a kit, how they can actually start teaching your course in their church, to their neighborhood, to their friends, and why this is so important. So you go ahead, tell them how they got hold of a program and why it's so vitally important that they do, and what is going on all across America today that Rush Limbaugh isn't going to tell you.
Well, yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. It is exciting because we just see classes multiplying. I was talking with a host who's hosted a class in New Jersey, and her class just doubled. She was only prepared for half the people, and she showed up. She's calling us, hey, we need more materials. And great news, because around the country, people are hungry for the truth, and they recognize something's wrong, and they've got an inkling that it has to do with the Constitution. Something's really gone sour in our country, and the Constitution's being ignored or violated. And so we've put together what we call a host kit so that you can host a class that teaches these principles. It is composed of 12 DVD lectures by constitutional law professor John Eidsmo, two lectures by historian David Barton, and each student has a notebook that is a detailed outline of each of those lectures, and test questions follow each of the lectures, and supplemental reading materials are in that student notebook as well. And the host kit includes a manual that you as a host have all the answers to the test questions. You have guidance on how to structure the class and how to walk through the materials over the course of 12 weeks. And then all that you need is basically in a turnkey package to enable you, without any background in law or government or history, really you don't need to be an expert in any field. You can take this and conduct a class in your community. Now, before doing that, you may want to take the class yourself, and so we do offer an online version of the course where broadband, you stream in the lectures, and you look at all the materials, print out materials that you choose, and you can access that by going to our website. Institute on the Constitution's website is iotconline.com. That website, again, is iotconline.com. And while you're there, check out our store, because there's where you can purchase the host kit. We encourage people to take the online course, get an idea what it's about. Once you've taken the course, then you are ready to go, ready to get yourself a host kit and gather a group of people. Oh, and your church is often an excellent place to do it. We have people renting facilities in a hotel, a banquet room, or other folks that are just gathering a number of folks in their living room. Anywhere that you can gather people together, there's people hungry. If you've find avenues, I know that a number of our hosts have found that in their community, the local talk show host is willing to have them on for maybe even 4 or 5 minutes to explain what they're doing, tell the people in that community they're conducting a class on the Constitution, and then they found themselves swamped. All of a sudden, they've got all these people who heard it on the radio. Certainly, there's other ways to advertise. Usually, if you're doing a class that local newspaper will allow you to put up a note that this class is happening at this place at this time and so on. And there's many ways to get the word out and let people know that here's a class that can train them in an understanding of the Constitution. And so you can go to our website, iotconline.com, or if you call us during our business hours here on the East Coast, that toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. That toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. And, you know, Dr. Stan, the thing that's so encouraging, we have people who have never taught anything in their life before, raised their own kids and as a housewife and said, hey, I need to do something. And what can I do to win my country back and to restore the republic? I can conduct this class. And they found great joy in seeing their fellow citizens gain an understanding of law and government and gain an understanding of what they can do when they go to the ballot, when they choose a candidate, what kind of questions they can ask in a town hall meeting that will expose somebody who does not hold to our founder's view of law and government. We have a list of questions. If you go to our website, just in the search box, you put in this question: is your elected representative competent? Is your elected representative competent? You'll come to a page that has a list of questions you can ask that will penetrate anybody who does not hold our founder's view. And, of course, to answer those questions yourself, you need to take the course to be able to answer them properly and know what the proper answer is. And you can expose in a town hall meeting, congressman or even the senator who really doesn't have the proper American understanding of law and government that our founders held to and what they intended when they crafted our Constitution. So go to the website, iotconline.com, or give us a call, 866-730-9796. Take the course yourself, get a host kit, and start a class. It's not too late to restore America, and I'm very encouraged, in spite of how bad things have become with Obama and all that's taking place, I'm encouraged that so many Americans are waking up and beginning to study the Constitution. And as we said at the beginning of the program, we're seeing the effect already, and the fact that Congress sat and read through the Constitution as their first order of business at the beginning of this year.
And I think it's really the reason that people are getting interested in the Constitution is because things are getting bad, and things are going to get a lot worse, ladies and gentlemen. I can promise you that. I mean, certainly we've read the programs. We know what they're up to. We read, and they're talking about the terrible times that lie ahead, the austerity, the lower living standards. And as these things happen, more and more people are going to be looking for answers. And the first thing to understand what's going on is you have to understand our form of government and the fact it has been usurped by a group of wicked people who have a different world vision, because in my estimation, many of them worship a different God. But go right ahead, David.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about the 24th Amendment, which eliminated poll taxes, and I agree with you that there's nothing wrong with a poll tax. And furthermore, this is an expansion of power for the federal government to tell the states what they can and cannot do in their election process. That's not the business of the federal government. Yes, you might disagree with it, or you might agree with them, but that can be fought at the state level, and states can each decide to do what they choose, and the federal government should have nothing to say about it at all. It's not their business. We don't want to expand the power of the federal government, which is what the 24th Amendment does. Well, quickly, moving on to the 25th Amendment, 1967, and this was, again, addressing the issue of presidential secession. If the president's incapacitated or is not alive, and the vice president is not either, then who will be next? And then the structure now is the Secretary of State, which in our situation would mean Hillary Clinton and so on from there. But we've talked about that secession previously, so we won't go back into that detail. The 26th Amendment, 1971, dealt with 18-year-olds voting. The right to vote may not be denied on the basis of age for anyone who is over 18, is what it essentially says. And I remember, I wasn't at voting age at that point, but I remember hearing, well, if a young man can go and die for his country, well, he should be able to vote. And that was the rationale. But think about this. We shouldn't have been in that war, Vietnam, as you said earlier. But the point is, who's making this decision? It's the federal government, again, making the decision for the states, telling the states who can vote and who can't vote in their state. I think, many 18-year-olds are not equipped. They're not trained. Actually, I'm of the opinion that many voters are really not equipped because they haven't studied the Constitution. In fact, I think it would be a good idea to say that unless a person can pass a test on the Constitution, they shouldn't be given the ability to vote because they don't know what the law is. They don't know the standard by which to hold all the candidates accountable and say, this is a good candidate, this is a bad candidate. I mean, they just often people pick a candidate based on their name, or they saw a bumper sticker and they saw some ad that was really misleading, and they just make an arbitrary decision rather than making an evaluation based upon a fixed standard, our Constitution, as to who a good candidate is or who a bad candidate is. Interesting thing about this 26th Amendment, it doesn't say that it cannot be lower than 18, but it cannot be higher than 18. So a state could say, hey, we're going to have 14-year-olds vote, or why not go all the way and have universal suffrage and say 1-year-olds can vote? Why not do that? And everybody would say, oh, of course you can. Why would you have a 1-year-old vote? 1-year-old's not going to make an intelligent decision. A 1-year-old will not make an intelligent decision. Exactly my point. We should only let people near the voting booth who have a constitutional understanding of what our government is all about, a constitutional republic, can pass a test, and those are the kind of people who will vote to preserve your rights. Think for a minute, if we had an influx of, oh, let's just pick a number, let's say, oh, 50 million Marxists. There probably aren't even 50 million Marxists in the world, but if there were, if 50 million Marxists were to invade our country, come here to live, and go get a voting card, and what would they vote for? Well, they would vote for a communist Marxist government. They wouldn't vote for your freedom or my freedom. They wouldn't vote for the preservation of life, liberty, or property. They would not vote for a constitutional republic. They would vote for the opposite. And that's part of the biggest problem we have in our country today. We have people voting to destroy our very form of government, who are traitors to our government, our system of government, and I don't know how to undo the problem, because we've opened it up now that anybody that turns 18 years old, we give them the power to vote.
And I think basically this is all this idea, we are a democracy, everybody should be able to vote, and that's how freedom. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. And we probably shouldn't let people vote until they get to be 25, and we should require that they can speak English. Why would we have ballots printed in Spanish? Why these people can't read our language? They're not Americans. They divided. They're totally disruptive to our form of government. They know nothing other than the fact that they want to vote for somebody who's going to give them money and power. That's all of it's about. And the whole idea of our Constitution was to limit power, not to give any group power, but to limit the power of the government. And basically, the last thing that our founding fathers wanted was a democracy. And if you don't know the difference between a republic and democracy, well, you need to take this course. We have a little pamphlet on republican democracy. You need to get it. It's inexpensive. And it will explain to you the difference. It's the most important thing that you can learn about a country. We are not a democracy. And yet, of course, how many 18-year-olds know that? They've been indoctrinated in schools. They've been lied to, and because they control the educational programs, because suddenly they control the media, they suddenly control what you hear and read and see. How many people know the difference between a republic and a democracy, and why our founding fathers said, you know, democracies are air spectacles of turbulence and contention, are air incompatible with the rights of personal liberty and private property, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. Democracies are as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. Do you notice the tempo of violence picking up in America? Why is it? Why? Because we have become a democracy. And this is how all democracies die. Ladies and gentlemen, you must understand they never should have given the right to vote to 18 years old. If they're old enough to die for their country, they're not old enough to die for their country. They shouldn't be drafted and sent off to fight in a no-win war in Vietnam, when we were financing the Russians, who were financing the North Vietnamese, who were financing the Viet Cong, who were killing our people, and we weren't allowed to win. In fact, the Ford Motor Company was building trucks that were being used to carry the goods down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Of course, that's the Ford Motor Company in Gorky in Russia, of Henry Ford being really deeply involved in this whole world occult movement, bought a put a automotive factory at Gorky. It's still working today with the latest Ford technology, working against, of course, the preservation of freedom in America. Go ahead, David.
The other thing that's interesting about voting is that in the founding era, there wasn't universal suffrage. The people who were the voters were the ones who were going to be paying taxes. That is, they owned enough property, land, that they were actually going to be paying taxes. And that makes sense. If you're going to be paying taxes, then you should be able to vote representatives who are going to determine how that tax money is spent. But if you're not paying any taxes, then you shouldn't be able to vote, because the only thing you're going to vote for is to take out of somebody else's pocket and put it into your pocket. I've forgotten the name of the historian who said that what happens when people discover that they can vote from the public treasury into their own pocket, that's the end of the whole system, because everyone will vote money for themselves.
That's what Aristotle said. He recognized that.
So it's quite sensible then to say that only those who are actually contributing financially into the system, paying taxes, are going to vote, because they are going to vote to preserve their liberty and their property as best they can. They're going to vote for low taxation because they're the ones paying taxes. The tax consumers, the ones receiving welfare, are going to vote the opposite, for taxes to be raised so that it can go into their own pockets. Well, let's move on to the 27th Amendment, the very final amendment currently of our Constitution that was ratified in 1993, and it deals with congressional pay increases, that no congressional pay increases could take effect until after the next election. So if they voted a pay raise for themselves as congressmen or as senators, they would not be able to enjoy that pay raise until the voters got to have a voice as to whether they were going to return those congressmen to Washington or they were going to throw them out of office, so that basically the people had an opportunity to voice whether they were pleased with the pay increase that Congress had given to itself. And this was a solid check of the people against their lawmakers, and it's a check that was, I think, very much needed.
All right, well, our guest today has been Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Go right ahead, David.
Well, this was an interesting, the 27th Amendment is a very interesting amendment, because it was not a recent amendment in terms of its proposal. It was proposed all the way back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
And it will give you the background to understand the difference between a republic and a democracy, and why, of course, James Madison wrote in the 10th of the Federalist Papers, democracies are air spectacles of turbulence and contention, are air incompatible with the rights of personal of property and personal security and private property, and are usually as short in their lives as they are violent at their deaths, because everybody's using government to get something for themselves. And the men who created our Constitution wanted to limit the power of government so that men could be free. And that was what it was all about. Liberty and limited government are synonymous. Tyranny and total government are synonymous. Which do you want? Well, people have voted for more and more and more benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, our government's bankrupt. There's no way that Social Security's bankrupt. Starting the 1st of January of this year, 10,000 new people will go on to Social Security and Medicare, and over the next 19 years, 79 million people will be added to the rolls of the already 58 million people on Social Security and Medicare. And Barack Obama told the truth when he said, the only way I can control spending is to get health bill through. Why? So he had to be able to cut spending on Medicare by rationing health care. And if you see what's in this bill, basically doctors are going to be required to do exactly what they're told in Washington, D.C., and if not, they'll face a fine of $1,000 the first time, and the second time they violate what they're told and do what's best for their patients, they'll be put in prison. We're talking about a nightmare. It starts in 2013 if we can't get rid of this. But you're not being told the truth. Yes, really are. Death panels, they were not in the Obama health care bill. They were in the stimulus bill. If that's true, well, why doesn't anybody tell you? Because they don't want you to know, because the media is controlled. How do we understand what's going on? You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get our little pamphlets on the occult hierarchy, and there is a cult hierarchy that rules our country, rules the world. If you get any of these items and you ask for it, we'll send you something put up by the Luciferians. It's called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, and they believe that there's a spiritual hierarchy that rules the world, and there really are demonic spirits that are working in our world today. If you doubt that, you need to get the DVD, The Watchers. And, of course, there you'll you see the cattle mutilations. You'll see an interview with a gentleman who's removed the implants from about 16 people who've been abducted by these beings from the other dimension. You'll get into the background of the UFO sightings recently. There is a supernatural realm. Certainly, of course, my talk on the dark secret, it's a talk we gave at the last conference, and it's available now on CD, or the whole conference CDs. We there are five of them, the talks that were given by Dr. Paul Williams on the Islamic training terror camps here in America, funded by our own government. They start with Islamburg in New York, and there are about 60 affiliated with that, and then many dozens more associated with Mr. Ghulam, who is a multi-billionaire. He works with the CIA distributing drugs. He's the man instrumental in taking Turkey from the pro-Western position to the radical Islamic movement, suddenly in the Near East in preparation for World War III. Dr. Williams' talk was very good. Certainly, Sheriff Mack, David Ayoub, Michael Shaw. You can get all five of them or get them individually. But you will want to hear, I believe, my talk on the dark secret. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can listen to our programs there 9 hours a day. You can listen to us on radio, or you can listen to us on the telephone 24 hours a day, certainly with the Genesis. And you go to our website, and we tell you about that, shortwave, internet, satellite. Get other people listening. Let them understand what's going on. Help us spread the truth. And then, please, pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Let us all be. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Paul Walter, certainly one of my favorite guests. And Paul came from a communist country when he was a boy. He was raised in a communist country with living without freedom, and he came here as a very young man and a young boy, and he appreciates freedom probably more than most of you. He's dedicated his life to preservation of it, and of course he now has retired, and he works full time. He has a website. It's called newswithviews.com, and every day he posts three or four new articles up there every evening, and you can get them, and they're all sorts of fascinating subjects. He has some of the finest writers in the country. Our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy posts an article there almost on a weekly basis, but you need to go with newswithviews.com. Excellent, excellent material there, and we certainly recommend it too. But Paul and his wife, Lorraine, actually came across a book, and I don't know where they found it, but it was a very important book. It was written back in 1899, 111 years ago, by Mr. Wahlberg. And Mr. Wahlberg was an attorney who had actually seen what had happened and how the banks were taking advantage of the people. And the book was called The Coming Banks, and the basic theme is the banks are going to end up controlling America. This is what it's all about. And you've given these people the ability to have power. Now, basically everybody knows that Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff in the White House, is going to be running for the mayor of Chicago. And basically, he's going to be replacing Mayor Daley. But, of course, the Daley is a very family, is a very powerful family. And William Daley is going to replace Rahm Emanuel. This is the brother of the mayor and is the son of the corrupt politicians who's run Chicago for so many years. And the old slogan, vote early and vote often. They stole the 1960 election from a presidential election from Richard Nixon, gave it to Kennedy. Of course, they worked right along with the mafia. The mafia was in on this. They, of course, worked with the mob. But William Daley is going to be the new chief of staff. Where did William Daley come from? Why, he came from J.P. Morgan Chase. Larry Summers leaving the White House staff as chief economic advisor. He's going to be replaced by another gentleman coming from Goldman Sachs. Ladies and gentlemen, Goldman Sachs is affectionately referred to in Washington, D.C. as Government Sachs, because so many of the people in all the key positions in Washington, D.C. in the Obama administration come from the banking industry. They control the government, but they can't let you know that. This new legislation they passed to control the banks is actually there to ensure that the banks will be too big to fail, and they will not be allowed to fail, no matter what they do or what excesses they go to. Why, you are going to end up taking care of them, and they're going to get richer, and they're getting, let's say, tens of millions of dollars every single year, and their bonuses, and they're being financed by you, ladies and gentlemen. The banks own the country, but they see much more than that. They're part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and those of you who haven't read my book need to get it and to understand the background of banking, its origin. But, Paul, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us how you happened to find this book and why you reprinted it, a book written 111 years ago?
Well, I'd be happy to, but I hear the music, so I think you're heading into a break.
We are, because basically we'll be back here with Paul in just a moment, but it's vitally important. This is a very important book, and we certainly encourage you to get it. We do carry the book because we think you need to understand the past if you understand the present, and certainly if you hope to change the future. Paul, go right ahead.
Yes. Mr. Walbert, who wrote that book, he was born before the Civil War, and he didn't, let's see, how did he say that? He says that it's not the banks that are controlling America. He calls it the money power, which is the, you know, it's not your local bank around the corner, obviously, is going to control anything. They're just part of a, they're just a puppet. It's the big, huge banksters, as he calls them, the players on the top. He names them all, like, and a lot of them are still in business today. Chase Bank, Galician Bank, he names them all. I don't know, a lot of them change the name from one to the other. And he says eventually the people will wind up homeless on the continent that the founding fathers conquered, and the people who control the money will control the world, including the United States. And that's why this book is so important, because most of the things that are in that book, it's the same thing as, in other words, when you understand the coming battle, you'll be able to understand the events today, because everything is repeating itself. The book talks about how the recessions and depressions and panics are created, how silver was demonetized, how they took and stole the gold from the American people and wealth and replaced it with paper money. And it's like if you have a stake and they tell you, well, listen, you don't want to carry that stake around. You give us the stake and we'll save it for you. And we'll give you a piece of paper with a picture of a stake to carry around. And, you know, and people have forgotten that that the money is worthless, because the only reason the money works is because they believe in it. And once the people stop believing in it, the whole thing will collapse. And it's very prophetic, because it talks about how Napoleon tried to unite Europe under a common currency. What do they have today? The euro, common currency. So it's very, very historic, and it clearly explains, and you will understand that nothing is new under the sun. Everything keeps repeating itself, and unless we understand history, we're going to keep repeating it over and over again.
And that's exactly what's going on today. And because people don't understand how the banks can expand the money supply and make loans easier to get. And everybody then, because they see their neighbor borrowing money and investing it and making money, and everybody's getting rich, and then they're going to mortgage their property or their farm or their business, and they're going to borrow money because they want to get rich too. And that, of course, is the trap. We'll be right back.
Yeah, fractional banking.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Paul is simply going into the background of this amazing book. It's called The Coming Battle. The Coming Battle for America, and simply, he doesn't refer to the banks. It's really the money power, and it's the major international financiers or major national financiers talking about Chase Bank and I'm sure the Morgan Bank and the other banks at that time. And they were all named back in 1899, and they're still here, most of them. They've changed their names, but they're, the money power is here. It goes from generation to generation. and how they're able to convince people, of course, that paper money is just as good as gold, and you don't need gold, or you just have a receipt for gold. But, of course, what they've done is centralize all the power in their hands. They demonetize silver. It's all a game, so that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, but they control government, and they use government to destroy their opposition. And, of course, then, since they can create money out of nothing, well, then they can go ahead and buy up the corporations, or they can buy up the media, and they can buy up the politicians. It's really a great game. But the most clever thing that they do, of course, is the way that they expand the economy, and they create artificial prosperity. And money's easy to get. And then the stock market goes up, and the price of buildings and the price of homes and farms and everything is going up. And then people, well, are basically motivated by fear and greed. And greed gets people to mortgage their homes and mortgage their farms and mortgage their businesses and mortgage their commercial property or mortgage whatever they have, you know, so that they can borrow money and make more money, and it works really great until the banks intentionally contract the money supply, stop lending money, and then you lose your job and you can't pay off your mortgage, you lose your house, your farm, your business, your commercial property, your everything you have. And they do it over and over again, don't they, Paul?
Yes, they do. Nothing is new under the sun. Mr. Wahlberg describes how starvation was created in a nation of plenty, how in a country like America, where they created for the first time in history of that country up to that period when he wrote that book, they created homelessness. He calls it that the tramp appeared on the highway, meaning homelessness. You know, they didn't have the word homelessness, I imagine, back in the 1800s, so they call it that American tramp appeared on American highways, and how they manipulate the commodities market. And speaking about the commodities market, you're about to see how they're going to manipulate the commodities market here for the next year or two, because the food prices are going to skyrocket, because they know that when your stomach is hungry, you will turn your neighbor in, you will do whatever it takes to eat, you will do whatever you're told, you will sell out your own mother for a bowl of porridge, and they know that, and this has been happening for hundreds, thousands of years, and the money power has been there since Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, and they've had their people bamboozled for 2,000 years, I don't know. I think this year is going to be a wake-up year, personally. I believe that, because gas is going to go over $5, $6 a gallon, because they want to force people into electric cars. And where the reason is because the range is short on it, and you can't go very far with an electric car. And they manipulate the people. They've been manipulating. Hitler did it. Stalin did it. They've been manipulating people. Stalin called them useless or useful idiots, where they vote you in, and they can be, you know. Today, Glenn Beck did an excellent show. I highly recommend, for those who haven't seen it, it repeats in about an hour and 45 minutes on Fox News. It was brilliant how, and this goes right into the coming battle, too, how they manipulated people into smoking more, how they manipulated people into eating more, buying food that isn't good for you, and how they did it in the 1920s. And they hired this guy. I don't remember this guy's name right now. Maybe a call I can call.
Edward Bernays, probably?
Yes, that
Edward
was it.
Edward Bernays, sure.
Yes, and how he brainwashed people into this, how people are brainwashed into accepting that it's women's choice to kill her baby, and because, see, we're all rebellious deep down inside, and we don't want to be told what to do with our own bodies, so they can brainwash people into accepting that an unborn baby is a fetus. You can brainwash people into almost anything. And it was a brilliant show today how people can be brainwashed into things, and that's why the coming battle is so important, because you will see what happened throughout the 1800s, how commodities markets were manipulated, how they imported cheap foreign labor from Europe to take away and drive down the wages of the American people, today.
Just sounds like what they're doing today. That's why they won't enforce our immigration laws. That's why they won't build the fence that the Congress voted for, because they want to bring the people in illegally from other countries, primarily from Mexico, to drive down our salaries here and to impoverish the people.
Yes, and the people keep voting in Barney Frank. They just voted in Harry Reid again in Nevada. They voted in Barney Frank again, and Barney Frank, a scoundrel that he has been in there for 30, 40 years, and they still keep voting him in. And I don't know what it will take to wake people up. Now, I know there's a lot of vote fraud, too, and then people are going to call you up and say, well, he didn't really get voted in. There's vote fraud. But I'll tell you something. I know a lot of stupid people because my daughter lives in Boston, in Cape Cod, and she told me that people all around her all voted for Barney Frank. And you can't tell them that there's something wrong with this guy because people vote for a familiar name. They vote for a name that they're familiar with. They don't do their homework to see what this guy does and how he brought Fannie and Freddie Mac down. And he did, you know, created all the problems in this country. They don't know that. All they know is, well, yeah, he's been in there, so he's doing a good job for us. He brings home the bacon, and they keep voting these people in. And when are people going to wake up? I don't know, but I got a feeling this is going to be the year.
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. I think the prices, certainly we know that prices on soybeans are up 50%. The prices on wheat are up 80%. Prices on corn are up 96 or 94%. Certainly the prices of oil is going to go up. Gasoline is going to go up. And basically people don't understand that you're going to get your check, but it's not going to buy very much. You get your Social Security check, your pension check, but it's going to lose a half of its value here, probably within the next year and a half to 2 years.
Yes.
The plan is to impoverish the American people because your money has no value. And they want to impoverish the American people because that's how they're going to control them. And people don't understand that this is all calculated ahead of time. The leadership of the world is going to be intentionally transferred to China. There is a ruling elite there, the money power that Mr. Wahlberg talked about.
Yes.
111 years ago. This is a very important book. George Orwell said, you know, that those who control the present control the past, and those who control the past control the future. Well, they don't want you to know what happened in the past. That's why Paul and Lorraine Walter reproduced this book. They've only been able to find one other copy of this book. Why is that? Well, I will tell you that the powers that be go around and buy up books and destroy them. We carry a book by Gertrude Krugman. Actually, it's called The Money Creators, and she was approached by a group of very wealthy people. And so we want you to to write a very good book on finance and the Federal Reserve and how the monetary system works. And here's your large advance. And she spent a couple of years writing a book. Now, not The Money Creator, but it was the next book. Get the whole background of the financial system, and when she got it all done with it, she met with the men, who they paid her the rest of the money for the book, and she said, when will it be published? And they said, never. It'll never be published.
And you know what? They're using food for fuel. They're using corn for ethanol. Instead of feeding cattle or humans, they're using it for alcohol. And then you wouldn't believe the commercial I saw a few days ago. I don't remember what channel it was on because I flip channels around and I watch different things, where they're using crushed corn for kitty litter. And this woman said, oh, this is so safe, and she took a handful of kitty litter, popped it in her mouth and ate it because she said it's made from corn. So now we're using corn for kitty litter because it absorbs the kitty urine. They're using it for ethanol. And you know why they're doing this? Because they know they can get away with it. There is nothing these people cannot get away with because there's no consequence. And then we keep voting people in who don't have a clue of what they're dealing with.
And not only that, but of course, the advantage of using the ethanol in the gasoline is it destroys the engine. They want to get you out of your car,
yeah,
and they know
the
that the ethanol will destroy the engine of your car. It destroys the various pipes and tubes and all those things. They want to destroy your car, and so they've mandated you're going to have to use ethanol in your car. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you foolish people out there, because you're not smart enough. There isn't an elite. They know what's best for us. They've always known what's best for you, common people. And, of course, the things that they have planned, they plan intentionally to impoverish the American people and to shift the center of power and manufacturing to the so-called BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China. You can read the intelligence estimate. We pull this down off the Internet, comes out of our intelligence agencies, paid for with your tax money. They tell you exactly what they're going to do. But, of course, the last thing in the world is they want you common people to learn. Well, that's why we do what we do and why we provide the documentation, and we can actually provide this intelligence estimate. You can pull it down off the Internet. But these things are sort of hidden and hard to get. Fortunately, we do have access to these informations, and we make them available through our ministry. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY-464-2295. But the money power, the whole fraudulent concept of fiat money and fractional reserve banking, where the banks create money out of nothing and then buy up the media, buy up the corporations, buy off the teachers at the universities and the politicians who make the laws. That's how the game is played. It was 111 years ago. It's true today. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Paul, you go right ahead.
Pardon me?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Of course, was a lawyer. He was writing about what he learned watching how the banks operated from the time of the Civil War up until 1899 when he wrote the book. The banks are doing exactly the same thing today. Why are people losing their homes? Because the banks intentionally and purposely and maliciously contracted their lending, Sidney. That's why they don't publish the M3 anymore. If you were watching M3, you would realize it's dropped precipitously. What does M3 represent? It represents the amount of money that the banks are lending. Now, of course, you have M1 and M2 are available, and they keep telling you, well, Mr. Bernanke's putting all this money into circulation. He's going to spend $600 billion to buy up treasury bills. This is all showbiz, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, the banks are in on this. The big banks are in on it. There's only six of them. Those six banks own assets worth that are equivalent to 60% of the gross domestic product of this country, which is $14.5 trillion. $14.5 trillion is the gross domestic product. That's all the sales and salaries and everything in the United States. And the six major banks have assets equivalent to 60% of that. That's covered in a book called The 13 Bankers. We'll hope to have the authors of that here. These people dominate the government. They tell Mr. Obama what to do. Do you think it's just accidental that out of the entire country, the only place they could find a man to become the new chief of staff was Mr. William Daley from J.P. Morgan Chase Company? Or the only person who could head the Council of Economic Advisers post of Larry Summers is a man from Goldman Sachs? Do you honestly believe that? Well, if you do, why, there's just no hope for you at all. But basically, we've got to get you to think and understand and listen to our programs and get the material we have. And of course, then one of the things I could suggest is that you start reading news reviews on a daily basis, and you get your friends to start listening, and of course, to read that, and then you get them listening to my programs and Alex Jones and Joyce Riley. And turn off your television, because they're only going to be lying to you. Get the information, but what about news reviews? How many hits do you have every day?
We get approximately between 500,000 to 1,000,000 hits per day. We got articles coming up tonight. Lori Ross is going to be up tonight in about a half hour when the page changes from Thursday to Friday. And her article is about Obama's speech that he gave at Tucson, Arizona, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, I forgot when. And Cliff Kincaid's got an excellent one up. We got Pastor Butch Paul, he's got one up. And we're going to have one by Sheriff Jim Schweitzoff, who will be up probably around by 10:30 or so Pacific time. His articles are excellent. He was a sheriff in Sioux County, Iowa, for 40 years in law enforcement. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met. And I don't have much love for law enforcement, because they never met an order they wouldn't obey. They never met a paycheck they wouldn't sell a soul for. And because I've seen that under Adolf Hitler, and I've seen that under Stalin, and I've seen that the communist country that I came from, there wasn't a cop that I ever met that stood up and said, I'm not going to obey this order. And that's why I don't have much respect for them, because if they gave me an order and to, like, that guy in Florida or Alabama or whatever it was, where I don't know if you heard about this, Stan, where he was giving vegetables away in his neighborhood because he had a big garden in the back and too many vegetables, he couldn't eat them all. So the city found out, sent a cop out and gave him a $5,000 ticket because he didn't have a permit to give vegetables away. And it was mind-boggling. If I was a cop and they gave me that order, I would tell them to stick that order where the sun don't shine, and I wouldn't obey it, and I would have lost my job, but I would have found another one, probably a hell of a lot better job than being a cop, and you don't have to worry about putting your life on the line. But it's sad that there aren't any people who will speak up and stand up and say, I'm not going to do this. This is wrong. I'm not going to do this to my neighbor. I'm not going to do this to my neighborhood and give tickets like this to innocent guy who's giving vegetables away. But they do it.
Well, of course, basically, what really want to see how far they can push. Well, I think we see an awful lot of Americans. I'm encouraged by the last election. All across America, people were getting the Tea Parties. And of course, remember that the enemies of freedom are working at the Tea Parties, too. They've got their, you know, they've got Newt Gingrich trying to take a position of leadership. He's as phony as a $3 bill. He's a sellout. He's part of the other side.
The global.
The Council on Foreign Relations, sure. But they want them. They want to put their people in charge of the Tea Party. Don't you let them do it. Don't affiliate with anybody. You organize locally. You begin to get people together. You begin to try to reach the people. Get them to go and read the material at newswithviews.com and listen to Radio Liberty, too. We'll be right back.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance.
Paul, you go right ahead there. And Sydney, you know, I've been at this for 48, going on 49 years. I'm more optimistic than I've ever been because I see more and more people waking up. Now, admittedly, we're in a race against time, and there are a lot of people who never would have the courage to do anything. But there is a growing awareness something's seriously wrong, and people are looking for answers, and you've got them, and I've got them. And what we need to do, of course, is to get other people to be willing to commit themselves in this truly spiritual battle for the souls of
men. Well, you know what? I agree with you because when I, during the, you know, 2.5 years ago when Obama and Hillary was running and McCain, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? Let's pray that Obama makes it. And she says, why? I said, because if McCain makes it, all the Christians will go to sleep. They think they're going to think they got another George Bush, and he can't do wrong, and they're all going to go to sleep. I said, but with Obama, this guy is a Marxist. He's going to wake the country up. And I was right. If it wasn't for Obama, you wouldn't have Tea Parties today. So he's waking up the nation. But there's one danger, Stan. You have to understand your enemy. And the enemy has got two sides to him. This enemy is a two-faced enemy. One face is anger. And you're going to do what we say or else. We're going to pass this health care middle of the night, whether you like it or not, and it doesn't care if the whole nation is against it. We're going to do what we want, and you have no say. That's one face. Then, when they lost the House, the Republicans, now comes the other face. Wow, gosh, Mr. Boehner, let's all get along. You know, let's all compromise and get along. And like someone said the other day, I heard it on Fox. I don't, cause that's the only station I watch because I like Fox. I wouldn't stoop to the level of watching CNN or any of the other ones. But anyway, he says, well, gosh, you know, you guys got to forget about this overturning the health care bill. We all need to stand together now for healing this nation and for standing together shoulder to shoulder. And you got to get rid of this notion you want to overturn Obamacare. And the problem is, see, once the evil turns the other face.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Paul Walter. And Paul was just saying that he prayed that Obama would get elected. Why? because he knew he'd get things so bad that we'd get the people mobilized and beginning to wake up. And I think Paul was absolutely right. And I will have to admit that I could not bring myself to vote for Obama, but I certainly couldn't bring myself to vote for McCain, who was a traitor who betrayed his fellow prisoners of war when he was in Vietnam. He went over to the other side, made propaganda films for them. The CIA went in and bought those up so that they would own McCain. They could show those tomorrow. He'd be tried for treason. But, of course, they own the John McCain. He does what he's told to do. He was run, I believe he was run to win, to lose, and he succeeded in doing that. But be that as it may, before we go on, Paul, I want you to tell our listeners how to get to your website, why your website is so vitally important. And, of course, we do carry the book that you published called The Coming Battle. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to give an opinion, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But our guest this evening, Paul Walter, is a dedicated patriot. He came to America from a communist country. He appreciates freedom. He works, as I do, full-time to get the information out. His website gets between 500,000 and 1 million hits every single day. It's having an impact. And basically, between Paul and WorldNet Daily, you have two websites that are reaching several million people every day with the truth. And that's why U.S. News and World Report, a magazine published by the Trilateral Commission, and Mr. Mortimer Zuckerman, who is the CEO and chief editor-in-chief of there, has actually had to shut the magazine down. They couldn't afford. They were losing money. Newsweek's losing money. They've had new owners, but they're going to shut these down. We're moving towards an internet society. We're moving towards alternative means of communication. These are the most exciting times. We're in a race against time. But I want you to know how to get hold of Paul Walter's information. Paul, how can people get in touch with you? Why should they go to your website?
Well, we have 100 of the best writers in the country. We're adding constantly new ones. We've got one coming. I can't think of the gentleman's name right now, but he's a founder of Oath Keepers. We've got him coming. He's an attorney. I don't have his name in front of me. Oh, Stuart Rhodes is coming aboard with us soon. We have about 4, 5, or 6 lawyers. We have about 2, 3, or 4 police officers who are retired, who are from the old school, who are pro-America. We have writers that are experts in health field. We have doctors. We have lawyers. We have housewives. We have a little bit of talk show hosts, a little bit of everything from people that write articles from their point of view. Some you will agree, some you may disagree, but most of them I think you will agree because, you know, there's a couple I have. I don't agree 100% all the time either, but they're, you know, it's their opinion, and if you don't like the article, don't read it. And we have two rabbis who are wonderful people. One of them is Rabbi, gosh, I can't think of his name right now. He appears on Glenn Beck a lot. And then we have one from L.A. that ran for state senator in California. And he's a really good pro-American patriot. There is nothing on Newsy Views that I mean, there's information on that you can't find anyplace else. And it changes every day at 10 p.m. Pacific. So if you log on after 10, you will find the following day's page. And, you know, there's something you said about Chicago a little earlier that I wrote a little note down here for myself, the guy running for mayor, Stan.
Rahm Emanuel, right.
Right. I was told, now maybe one of your listeners can call in and enlighten us on this, that Chicago is going to be the hub for the North American Union. And that's why they're putting him in a key position to be the mayor of that city. And I was told that by a very, very prominent researcher just recently, which I didn't know anything about this until just recently, and I thought maybe, do you know anything about this?
No, I really don't. I haven't heard it at all. I wouldn't be surprised, but I wouldn't want to comment. I don't have any documentary.
Yeah, maybe some of your listeners know a little bit about this, and they can call us. and enlighten us on that, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised, because there's a reason why he quit the White House and is running for mayor, because Chicago is going to be the hub for a lot of the stuff that's coming down in 2012. I think personally that it's all over for our country. The only way we're going to save America, only way, is if we get people involved on the local level all across the country from coast to coast, get elected on a city council and a school board and a county commissioner, board of supervisors, whatever you have in your county, and start making a difference on the inside. And when you run for office, you have to be able to have a heart of gold and a cast iron stomach, because you will be attacked by the media, especially if you know which end is up and you know what you're talking about. So you have to go in there, you know, kissing babies, do whatever you have to do to get elected. And then once you get elected, you do what's right. And they won't be able to implement a lot of these Agenda 21 and sustainable development programs if we get people in. And I would urge everyone listening, put away your golf clubs. I know I'm 65 years old, and I'm pretty well off. I don't have to do what I'm doing, and I'm sure Stan doesn't have to do what he's doing. But we're doing this for the love of our country, because if there is no America to go to, you folks don't have no idea how dangerous, how close to collapse we are. We're very close. And it's the only thing that's left yet is a fat lady, and she's singing right now. And when a fat lady's done singing, it's all over. And she's singing right now. So we better get involved for the love of our country, and do it for not just for yourself and your wife, but do it for your grandkids and your children, because your grandkids and your children will not know the America that you and I know. And the reason I'm doing this is because when I came to America in 1959 off the boat, America gave me everything that I have. Everything that I have, I worked by the sweat of my brow. I never took a dime from the government. I worked honestly, sweated, worked, and saved. And I'm here today doing this because I can't see. I owe something to this country. I owe a lot to this country. And I owe everything to this country. And there is no America to go to. Where are you going to go? Canada? So you're going to be a queen subject? South America, where they all hate Americans? You're going to go to Europe? You're going to live on your knees there, and where you can't even build your home on your own land? You have to live in the city limits? That's coming to America, and the only way we're gonna save America, if we wake enough people up to get involved, yeah, it will be hard times are coming of biblical proportion, but I think you Americans are tough enough, you can take it, and we can save America if we get involved, and we have to get involved on the local level all across the country.
And that's right. You know, the other side has a slogan. It says, think globally, but act locally. And that's really what we've got to start doing. You organize locally. And in the process, you can begin to certainly educate the people. Now, remember that the newspapers are going to be against you. They've been bought up all across America. If you may or may not have a radio station, it'll give you some help. But certainly, there is, basically, radio is still one of the last means, diversified enough that that you can reach it. Now, remember, Comcast has over 1,000 radio stations, and that's part and parcel of the problem, but there's still a lot of radio stations out there that you can get onto, and you can get the information out, or you can buy time, or you can, which is what we do.
And you know what I learned, Stan, is not a lot of liberals are not bad people. They're not bad people, and they're not wicked straight through. They're just misled. They believe a lie. And they're not bad people. And if you can wake them up, you know, then they're gonna wake up their neighbors. And don't ever give up. Don't ever give up this country. Never, never, ever. Because the only choice you have is to live on your knees.
And basically, there's no place to run in the world. I know. I mean, many years ago, I thought maybe it would be safe in the Azores. We want to. Bought a property over in the Azores. The next we knew, the communists had taken over the Azores. Eventually, they forfeited it, but they actually was under communist control for several years, removed to South Africa, and the State Department turned South Africa over to the communists. Certainly, Nelson Mandela, longtime member of the Communist Party, he was in prison. Not because he was a communist, but because he was a terrorist, and he'd killed, you know, hundreds of people, ordered their deaths and their torture and their deaths. You never hear about that in America, but when Nelson Mandela became the president of of South Africa in a rigged election. There was Fidel Castro, there were the communists, there was Hillary Clinton, there was Gaddafi. All of the communists from all over the world were there to celebrate the fact that the American State Department turned South Africa over to a communist regime, which was the African National Congress. And you can check what I'm saying out on the internet. Of course, we turned Rhodesia over to a communist, Mugabe. And of course, we promised if anything ever went wrong, we'd always come to the people's aid. And the people there foolishly believed Henry Kissinger. Well, Henry Kissinger's word and $15 to buy a cup of coffee anywhere in the world today, almost. The Henry Kissinger lied, but a Henry Kissinger's always lied. And Henry Kissinger is the man who's really running America today. In fact, General James Jones, I believe it was in February of last year, gave a talk at the Munich conference where he said, we have a chain of command in the National Security Council. And I get my orders. Now, remember, this is the man who meets with the president every day, head of the National Security Council. He said, I get my orders every day for Brett Scowcroft and Sandy Berger, and they come from Henry Kissinger, and we carry out those orders. We go up in the internet, pull it down. If not, we have it, and we make it available. This is not imaginary. Henry Kissinger is the man who brought communism to Zimbabwe. They destroyed the nation, Rhodesia. Changed his name. Half the people have fled. The people there live in poverty. They did that intentionally, and I believe that is a prototype of what may very well happen here down the line if you don't get involved. You say it couldn't happen. It's all imaginary. It's conspiracy talk. Ladies and gentlemen, study the history of what's happened in Zimbabwe. And, oh, we have sanctions on them, but we still keep giving them money in the name of humanitarian aid to support the military there. Oh, it's humanitarian aid. Yeah, but it only goes to the military and to the police force to keep Mugabe in his palace. And that's what we've done. And, ladies and gentlemen, people don't understand. We've always created the best enemy money could buy. And if you read David Rockefeller's memoirs, you'll find out that his daughter goes down to visit Fidel on a regular basis. Why would David Rockefeller's daughter go down to visit and spend time with a brutal murderer? And that's what he is when he came to power. He killed about 15,000 people. Some of them he killed himself with a pistol, just shot them in the head. This man's a murderer. Why would David Rockefeller's daughter be going down to visit a murderer? And why would Fidel Castro be coming up to visit David Rockefeller? Get the memoirs. We have them. These people have such audacity. They write these things out, realizing you will never have the ability to think because they believe they control your mind. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The book I'm referring to is Memoirs by David Rockefeller, available from Radio Liberty. Why is David Rockefeller's daughters, in fact, both of them, gone down to visit good old Fidel Castro, a mass murderer? Read the books written by the people at the time of the revolution, how he personally killed people, his political opponents. Not a trial, he simply had them, he personally killed a certain number, had about 15,000 executed. But where is the cry for, Fidel Castro to face war crimes?
Yeah, you see that. You see people walking around with Che on a T-shirt.
Well, our job is to get people educated, Paul, and I do believe that through your efforts and 500,000 or a million people going to Paul's website every day. I wish we had that many people on our website, but, well, of course, we reach people by the miracle of radio. He does it by print. But it's all cumulative, and certainly what Paul's doing, and Dr. Dennis Cuddy is a regular writer for newswithviews.com. DV Kidd is a regular writer there, Frosty Woolrich. So many of the people that we have on our programs are on that program on a regular basis. Chuck Baldwin's going to be with us in a couple of weeks. He's a regular contributor there. The information is great, and you need to get it. You need to go to that website, but you need to get others to go to the website. And the way we're getting new listeners and the way we're getting recruiting people to go to Paul's website is you have an obligation. You have a moral obligation to tell others about what's going on, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And what is going on today in America and throughout the world is organized evil. Believe me, the plan for world government is fast coming to conclusion. Today in India, with over 1.2 billion people, they're issuing RFID identification cards with specific localizers so they can identify the people to every one of those billions of people. Some places there aren't even roads. But believe me, they're all going to have identification cards. When they did the census for you, last year, why, when the census keeper came to your home, they had a GPS localizer, and they put that in, recorded, so they know exactly where your home is. But it wasn't just done in America. It was done all over the world. And every little thatched hut in Africa, and every little thatched roof hut in India, they have GPS localizers because they're watching everybody. Everybody throughout the world, they can do it with computers. Isn't electronics wonderful? Or is this? Is this the vehicle by which the day will soon come when you'll neither buy nor sell? Lest you wear the mark of the beast to be known by the number of his name. Paul, parting thought for our listeners for this segment?
You know, I just wanted to tell you what I'd done to our tax collector in November, because he's a real progressive Marxist. I'm not going to give his name over the air, but I went in to pay taxes, my property taxes, and he's standing there, and there's about 30 people in line because they wanted to beat the deadline, because if you pay before the, I think, November 15th, you get 3% discount. So they said, my turn came up, and I said real loud, make sure all the 30 people in line heard it, and I said, I am here to pay for the privilege to live in my own home. And after the break, I'll tell you what happened after that.
All right, fine. Well, ladies and gentlemen, people have to understand that we have a system by which they want to take away your property rights. Basically, you don't own your home. You're allowed to live there, but they can tax it, and they can take it away from you. They can take it away from you by eminent domain. And basically, they can then take your home away and give it to one of their friends. Oh, they'll pay you, but you will not get what it's really worth in most instances. And then they'll give it to one of their friends. How could this sort of thing happen in America? Why? Because we've lost sight of what America's all about. We've become passive, and we're either going to have to stand up and fight on our feet, or many of us will die on our knees. We'll be back here in just a moment here to wrap up tonight's program. Well, Paul, what happened after you announced that you were paying your taxes so that you'd have the privilege of living in your own home?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Banking reserve system by which banks miraculously create money out of nothing. And then, of course, they get you to take it because you honestly believe it's money and it's not. And they know what they're doing. It's a confidence game and they've got your confidence. Well, the book is excellent. We recommend it. We carry it. We also carry Gertrude Coogan's book, The Money Creators. We carry the book The Meltdown by Thomas Wood, going into what's going on today and how this whole thing was created and, of course, what should be done, but they're not going to do it. They need to let it collapse and start in all over again. And then, of course, what we need to do is get back to an honest banking system, not a fraudulent one. We have, of course, a book called The History of Money. It's a little pamphlet. It's inexpensive. We have another one called The Prophetic Warning, another one, The Financial Meltdown. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. That's the three pamphlets on money. Prophetic Warning, it's Andrew Jackson's farewell address in 1837 with my comments. It's The History of Money, and then, of course, The Financial Meltdown, the three of them. We actually have a four-tape set on the financial Armageddon, and you need to have this information. You need to understand. We have a talk I gave. It's on DVD with a syllabus. Financial Armageddon. This whole collapse is engineered. Why? Why? Because now, of course, the banks, they've got you. You borrowed a lot of money on your home, on your car. You borrowed a lot of money on your credit card, and now they contract the money supply, and so you can't make a decent business. Your business is having trouble. Certainly, you can't get a job. You lose your job. You have to take a job with less income. You can't make your mortgage payments, and who ends up with your bank? Your home? Why, the banks do. That's how the game is played. Bank of America is foreclosing in one stage or another on a million homes at the present time. A million homes are in one stage or another foreclosure. Over a million people lost their homes this last year. Over 100,000, several hundred thousand are losing their homes every single month. This isn't happening by accident. It's happening by intent. And you're seeing the transfer of wealth from weak hands to strong hands. You need to help us get the information out so that people can see clearly what's going on. They want you to see through the glass darkly. They don't want you to understand the scheme, the fraud. And, of course, the fact that we now have running the government something known as Government Sachs. That used to be Goldman Sachs, now it's Government Sachs. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And we do hope, of course, that you'll certainly go to our webpage at there, and you can listen to our programs. You can hear it on, if you have unlimited minutes on your iPhone or your regular telephone, you can listen 24 hours a day to our afternoon programs. You can hear us on your iPhone. You can hear us on the archive programs at our website. You can hear us on MP3. You can hear us on satellite. You can hear us on radio. You can hear us on shortwave. You can hear us on the Internet. And your job is to get other people listening. And they're going to start out probably thinking we're crazy. Before long, they're afraid we're not. Because behind everything are powerful spiritual forces that are blinding people. There's a spirit of blindness out there. Our job is to lift that veil of secrecy, the cloud of secrecy, so people can see, not through a glass darkly, but directly face to face. And there's certainly, hopefully, many of the people who do this will turn to our Lord, understand that they need a personal relationship with Him, because if God didn't die for our sins,